drones out.
Okay.
I'm going
to visit it up. Okay, so in terms of this, I guess, so again, it'll probably take us till at least the beginning, middle of tomorrow to finish it. How are we doing Marmakomas wise? Did anybody finish with home Marmakomas sheet?
Almost.
Almost. Not totally. Anybody actual? Or almost. Okay, so I found that's good because.
I knew the toast whatever was in the back of your mother than I thought.
I know, seriously. So some of the.
We thought
work,
it was just what is in the back of your mother.
There you go, you see? Yeah. So some of you who think you're almost finished, maybe a little bit less almost finished, because the more complicated points come up at the very end. So it may be you're farther from being finished than you think. So we may add a point or two on that for tomorrow, and it'll probably take us till, let's say, the beginning and the middle of tomorrow, and then we'll switch into Migo, hopefully. But one point I'd like to start off with today, it's easier to address after we had yesterday to lay down some of the lay land. Indeed, here it is. That this sugya is confusing by itself. Already it's confusing. I think you'll see, if you continue to persevere, that it's rewarding because it's very relevant to the inner structure of all of these concepts. So it's very important. But it takes you on a ride in order to try to get there. So it's confusing enough by itself. It adds a significant layer of confusion by using overlapping terminology. So I addressed it a little bit yesterday. Now that we've seen the views in the Rishonim, I want to just address it again and kind of highlight where the differences are so that we can properly appreciate how it affects all of the dominoes that come afterwards. George Mamona, we saw yesterday a number of views in Rishonim as to what it means. And just to quickly recap in the most surface of ways, we saw Rashi translating it as Chisaron. We saw many Rishonim, probably the most popular view in Rishonim, translating it as a Sheichus, some kind of relevance. We saw another view in Rishonim, which it's not necessarily different, but maybe different, that the Sheichus is phrased as a Tviya, Iker Tviya, an actual claim, and the like. I don't know if we had a chance, by the way, the Rashba, I skipped over the middle because we weren't up to it yet, but just while we're chazering that point, the Rashba, when he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Shmuel as Iker Mamon, and just listen to the way he says it, it's also maybe takes it to another level. I don't know if you saw the Rashba, it was on the Marmakomos, but if you didn't see it, I'll just read it to you. It says, Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Perish Drag Mamon, Iker Mamon, right, so far so good that we've seen. Perish Ahayolo ba Iker Tviya v'chazaka below machlokis. Kigon hoy de machlof par b'chamor de mocher yishol chazaka gemura de shlo heist the kodim chalipin v'shalahu toveya v'lokeach nami shalahu achshav below machlokis v'shalahu toveya. In other words, there's certain stipulated realities that each party had an undisputed claim that the other one would not argue on. So this is a form of probably the third view, what we're calling the third view, the Iker Tviya. Just interesting, this emphasis on below Machlokas and the like. And you contrast it to Bava Basra, Bava Arad, Rav Nachman, Leka Lechad Minayu Chazaki Gemura, below Machlokas. So that emphasis is interesting. Again, just in terms of seeing it as a claim, or seeing it as not just a shaykhus, but maybe a little bit more than that. So that's why we're calling it perhaps a third sheet, even though it could be connected to the second, and it could be all of these are connected. Maybe you could make a case that there's no argument to hear, and that all the four are somehow saying different versions of the same thing, but the different expressions are probably relevant. Ellie?
I mean that you could theoretically do the yachloku without Bezdin. Because if they both agree on what the circumstances
are. So that's an important question when I get to, not specifically the way you're asking it, but just in general, how much is the Yachloku a part of Beis Din, and how much does it need Beis Din, is probably very relevant to this whole question. So maybe hold on to that and come back and see how that plays in. So, and then the fourth sheet, though, was a Tosus that Beleka Tanoseihem Yeshafik with Beis Din. Again, probably the most quoted shita, that the suffix exists without their tainas. So that all of that is relevant to trying to understand what Drar de Mamona means in general. The question of what does Drar de Mamona mean within the Gemara and Daf Beis and Midbeis is especially confusing, and that's what I'm referring to. I'm saying it gets even more confusing. The Gemara in Bava Basra seems to tell us that when there's Drar de Mamona, that's a reason to do Yachloku, which would lead one to say, all right, so our Mishnah is about basic Yachloku, Shnem, Oks, and Batalas, so therefore, it's a case of Drar de Mamona. What's the problem? The problem is our Gemara, Beis and Mebeis, says it's not Drar de Mamona. So that confuses us. That's a problem. So we mentioned yesterday the Rashba seems to address this, not on purpose, but the Rashba essentially addresses this by saying it's different usages of the term. That here it means one thing, and Bava Basra it means something else. And that's important to emphasize because it doesn't always get highlighted. Rav Shlomo Fisher is a very huge Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. If you ever had the privilege to go here to Shiurim or the like, he has well represented here in this room. But in addition to his being able to be in two places at once, so he also wrote the Sefer Beis Yishai. And the first piece in the second chelek, so he essentially establishes that more clearly than you'll see elsewhere, that the Drar de Mamona on Daf Beis and Mebeis is a different usage of the term than you find it elsewhere. But it's important because that point often gets lost. So, as we'll discuss in a second, there are those who assume that Shnayim Oksim Batalas is a case that is not Drar de Mamona. Again, it's funny because this is our most famous Sahoku case. And for it not to be a Drar de Mamona case is perhaps surprising. So I think you could address that point in a number of ways. One is to say that it's just a different usage of Drar de Mamona, and that Shnayim Oksim Batalas, you could say both about it. It is Drar de Mamona compared to some things, and it's not Drar de Mamona compared to other things. Also, you could say that Oksim equals Drar. And that's a point that's important to keep in mind. Right? That maybe drara is a reason to say yachloku. Let's say if we were to translate it as shaifas, it means the two parties have a connection to the situation. And ochsen gives the two parties a connection to the situation. So maybe you could read this Gemara saying, well, it doesn't have drara de mamona that we call it elsewhere, but the ochsen comes and fills that role. Aaron? Right, I think that's basically saying what I'm saying here, that essentially they fill the same role. That Yachloku takes place when we can establish a connection between two parties, an essentially equal connection between two parties. In Bava Basra, that's called Drar de Mamona. In this Gemara is asserting there's no Drar de Mamona, but Ochsen comes and takes the place of what Drar de Mamona would do. So both of them have the same impact, whether you want to say it's different usages of the same term, whether you want to say it's compatible usages, but they're different reasons to get to the same conclusion. So we can say Yachloku here, we can say Yachloku there, and you can address this however you want, the fact that the term of Drar de Mamona being used here as if we're going to say that it's not applicable here. Jonathan?
But didn't some of the Rishonim elaborate in the other, let's say, Bava Basra cases that what Shaifas really means is that it could literally have been that the Vlad was born either when Party A had or Party B had, but you don't really have that with our Mishnah, the Chalukah. It's true that he has a Chazaka and it's something, but it doesn't have the whole underlying point of Shaifas that it, at some point or another, it was both of theirs and therefore...
Oh, so you're right that there is a difference between the two cases. You know, you're right that there's some reason why this Gemara is calling Shnayim Oksim Batalas lacking in its drawers, you know, lacking in its drawers Mamona. So there is some reason to differentiate, but to say there's no drawer Mamona as if it's an objective thing, it's either there or not there. So that confuses us, because if that's the driving force behind Yachloku, it's funny for it not to be here at all. So we could say that it's somewhat of a floating term with its different degrees, and it's used in a different sense in Baba Basra as it's used here. Or we could say that it's just used completely differently, or we could say that they're all coming to serve the same purpose. So I think there was a hand up, was it Aaron's hand? But it's also just interesting to see in this light, and Jonathan and I were discussing this morning, if you look at the Tosus Rid, which I only discovered also thanks to Jonathan that it's actually printed in these fancy schmancy Gemaras. So the Tosus Rid, where he speaks, it's a little bit differently organized than the other Rishonim here, so this is his comments are on the Mishnah. So it's the first Tosus Rid of the Masechta. It was on the Marmakomis if we had a chance to see it. So he quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra about Arba has no George Mamona and other cases do. And he says, what does that mean? Perush Hasam has Shifcha in the case of Hamachlev Parv Lachamor or Shifcha, Rishus Shnehem Shalta Aleha. Both of them have had ownership over her. Because she went from one rishos to the other. It's Yana Diomo Dafyomi, the first part of the Shabbos. V'nistapaknu b'rishos miyalda. And our suffix is just in which one of the rishoyas that we know she was in at one point to the other, did she have the child? V'damya ki'ilu shnehen ochzinba. And it's comparable to shnaim ochzin. Aval hacha I demar lo demar hacha, meaning the case of the zemer shel avosai la ola mohais el becheskas echad mehen helkach ein rai lebezdin ein roi lebezdin ledin yachloku elam mestalkin heim and adin the omer lehem called elam vet. So one could perhaps read into this Tosus Rid the point we're just saying that the drarid mamona that's identified in Bava Basra of the shaykhs both parties have in the case where the part of the chamor the shifcha is comparable to Shnaim Ochzin. It's essentially a similar mechanism. Whether you want to call them the same thing or you want to call them different things, it's not necessarily so consequential, but the point is they're both playing the same role. So the Shnaim Ochzin in our Mishnah and the Jorah Dvamona and Bava Basra are establishing a connection for both sides and therefore justifying an approach of Yachloka. This is also significant, just to kind of weave in a preview to another topic on this daf, is because if we want to say that Dror de Mamona is absent here in Shnaim Ochzin Batal, it's based on this Gemara and based on the days, so it opens up a fascinating issue, which is a little bit ahead of us, but it's a topic really comes from the Mishnah. So we see there's Yachloku that exists without a Shvua. And for example, Sumchus, and Maman Hamutal Basafek Yachloku without a Shvua. And the Mishnah that we've been coming from that talks about Yachloku with a Shvua. And here, one of the points that Gemara says is, well, here there is no Dror de Mamona, so we have a Shvua. So are we going to say that the Shvua case is fundamentally different than the non-Shvua case? Are these like two completely separate mechanisms? There's Yachloku without a Shvua and Yachloku with a Shvua? I think it's a question that's important to keep in mind in this sugya. Because it sounds like the Shvua is really kind of external. And that's how the Gemara presents it. It's going to be a Gemara on Daf Gimel and a Gemara on Daf Hey. That the Shvua is a Takanas Chachamim, right? The Shvua is a rabbinical institution. That Chazal were afraid that if we say Yachloku too quickly here, so we're going to have people say, okay, listen, there's nothing at stake for me to just grab onto somebody else's thing and force a Yachloku. So in order to address that social problem, so Chazal said, let's have a Shvua here. So does that create a whole different mechanism? Does that mean that we wouldn't have said Yachloku at all? But now, because we have the Shvua, now we can say Yachloku. Or presumably, you could say differently. You could say this would have been a Yachloku case no matter what. But we have a separate problem, that it's too easy for somebody to come in here and pull off a scam. So in order to discourage people from doing that, we make a Shvua. You follow the question? Now, is this a whole new model? Yachloku with Shua is a whole new concept? Or it's the same Yachloku we have elsewhere. It's just that we have a concern that people could misuse it. So when that's the situation, we have a Shua. And that's really what the Gemara is asking here, is that how come Sumchus will let you have Yachloku without a Shua, and here our Mishnah says with a Shua, is this against him, is this with him? So the Gemara says, well, here there's no Jar of Mamona, meaning what? There's nothing at stake for these people. They could, it's a Metziah. Anyone could randomly claim somebody else's Metziah. So we need to put the fear of God into them and add on the Shua. But not that it's necessarily a whole different model. Not that it's necessarily a whole different case. And this is lacking completely in the Jarid Mamona that we talk about elsewhere. So Tosfos Red fits in very well. I think it's a question of semantics. But Tosfos Red, the way we read it a minute ago, is just the point that we have Yachloku when we have a Shaychus to both parties. And in the case in Baba Basra, that's called Jarid Mamona. And in the case here, it's Shai Mochsen. But they essentially serve the same function. Use whatever terminology you want.
Right, but he develops that point based on the discussion of Simplis. Like, he starts by talking about Simplis.
That's fine. So we know
right,
that.
So then
Simplis also shvur, confuses us in general.
So with a Shvur or without a Shvur, what would Tosfos Rid say? Because he starts within the world of Simplis, so you would think that would mean that, like, oh, it's not a problem because that means there's no Shvur.
Yeah, well, that, in the case of you're asking, is there a shvur in the case of machlof par b'chamor? Is that the question?
No, it's like then it sounds like Tosfos Rid is basically jumping around from simchus of no shvur to yachloku b'shvur.
Not necessarily, because they all share underlying concepts. And simchus in general confuses us also, just like Rabbi Ramona, because simchus is evoked, his presence is always there. We're never sure whether we're possibly like him or not, or whether he is relevant to the particular discussion. So the point is that the basic underlying principle is there, that there is Yachloku in that case because there is a clear Shaychus to both parties. And there's Yachloku here also because the Ofsin gives a Shaychus to both parties. It's just that here we also have an additional concern that we're afraid that, and this closely we weren't talking about at all, I think, that we're afraid that someone's going to come and grab on to the talus illegitimately. So to discourage that, we have a takanas rachamim of a shvur. And the Gemara is asking about that here. So the Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah talk about a shvur? So it must be that it's not like Sumchus because he doesn't require a shvur. So the Gemara says, not necessarily, that there's a difference, that here there's no drar de mamona, meaning nobody has anything at stake, so we have to put the fear of God in here. But it's not necessarily the same kind of drar de mamona that we find in Baba Basra. So it keeps us on our toes in order to keep everything straight, but I think it all ends up thin.
Why does it make a difference then? Then it really is semantics that we're just using the word drar.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's not the same thing. Like, don't worry, there is drar. It's a totally different thing,
yeah,
but it's drar.
So you can use whatever terminology you like, but the point is that in the case of Shnei Mochus and Batalis, this becomes a true sentence. In the case of Shnei Mochus and Batalis, there is drar de mamona in the sense of involvement of both parties enough to justify a ruling of Yachloku. But there's a lack of drar de mamona in that we need a shvur because there's a lack of enough at stake that they're going to be too tempted to say something false. So it's, you call it two different usages of the term, two different aspects, two different degrees, the quantity, but it all comes out to the same thing. So this is very important, I think, also because of the ksos. You don't get a chance to see the ksos is on the Marmar Kamos, so I'll give you a little bit of a sense of it, and again, you can see this tomorrow. The ksos is one of the more, like I said, involved Marmar Kamos, so if you think you're almost finished and you haven't done the ksos yet, it'll take you a little while. But Tosos and Bava Basra and Daf Beis and Aleph, is that a familiar source? So there, right, the Gemara talks about a wall between two parties. Let's see if I can open the daf here. If the wall between two parties, two neighbors, the wall collapses, and the Mishnah had talked there about how you set up the building of the wall in the first place, and the Mishnah essentially concludes that the wall, the bricks, and the place of the wall is the property of the two of them. So Tosus over there, the Beis and Aleph of the Basra, we spoke about this a little bit before Yontif. Tosus asks, why don't we say Kol Dol Mivar on the rocks? So Tosu says, well, the reason we'll say Yachloku here, right, saying that if it belongs to both of them as a way of saying Yachloku, it's because there is Dvar Demamona. So that's an approach. But the Ksos is bothered for a couple of reasons. One reason he's bothered is because Tosfos has given other answers to when you say Yachloku and when you don't, in terms of Ofsun and the like. And why does Tosfos not say that here? And two, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks a question which may be based on our introduction of the past few minutes. So the Ksos asks a question which may be on our introduction of the past few minutes. Maybe you could challenge this question. He asks the Ksos, why is there more Dvar Demamona in the rocks than there is in Shnei Mochus and Batalos? They seem to be comparable cases. So Ochsen isn't Tosfos' answer. That's part of what bothers the Ksos. Right? Others, since Tosfos in other places says Ochsen is the operative factor, why do they not say that over there? So that's part of the Ksos' question. But the other part of the Ksos' question is, oh, you're telling me there's Dvar Demamona? Why is there Dvar Demamona by the rocks if there's no Dvar Demamona by the Talos? So we could say that we don't necessarily agree that there's no Dvar Demamona by the Talos. There is Dvar Demamona by the Talos, and therefore that's the answer to the question, at least the answer to that part of the question. Now, the Ksos' answer, the Ksos says he rejects Tosfos for that reason. There's Bezim and Alta Tosfos to Fikach. If you haven't seen it, you'll get a chance to see it tomorrow. So Tosfos says, like Menachem says, that we're going to call this a form of Ochsen. The first mission of Baba Basra, now that I have it open, I'll read it to you. In our Shutfin Shiratz, last Mechitza B'chatzer, so the partners want to make a Mechitza, so the Mishnah goes on to make the whole rule of what type of material, it's a longish Mishnah, what type of material, how much space, etc., etc. And then after describing it, so then the last part of the Mishnah is Lefikach Hamnafel Akoso Hamakom Avanim Shalo. If you have the marker there, Masum Dashnei and Bonus Akoso Beamso, Osim Chazim Kanu Lekan. If they agree to do it together, they put it in the middle and they put a marker on each place. Lefikach Hamnafel Akoso Hamakom Avanim Shalshneim. So therefore, it becomes both of theirs. So Tosus's question, Tosus's statement is Jared Mamona. So the Ksos says, but why is it different than the Talos? And how come the Tosfos doesn't say Ochsen like it says elsewhere? So says the Ksos, I'll give you a different answer. I'm going to throw away Tosfos, I'll give you a different answer. Here you say Ochsen. Now, according to the whole explanation, the whole introduction we've been giving the past few minutes, so everything works out fine. You could say either way, you could phrase it two different ways, but it comes out to the same thing. Right? That it's not true that the Talos has no Dvar Demamona, it does have Dvar Demamona. So that question you don't have to ask. And you could also say that it's not true that Tosfos and Baba Basra is ignoring the answer of Ochsen. This is consistent with the answer of Ochsen. That Ochsen and Dvar Demamona are the same thing, or they fill the same slot. They're not exactly the same thing, but they occupy the same space in this calculation, that any time we establish a connection to both parties, we can say Yachloku. And sometimes that's called Dvar Demamona, and sometimes that's called Ochsen. So when Tosfos says Ochsen elsewhere, it's not giving you a different teretz, it's giving you the relevant form of the core teretz, which is shared by both. So the Ksos doesn't have to reject Tosfos, that could be what Tosfos is essentially saying. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? Once again, hopefully tomorrow you'll get a chance to see it inside, so you'll have maybe a little bit stronger grasp on it. So this there's a sefer, I think I mentioned it before Yantiv, called the Betzror HaChaim. You can find it on HebrewBooks.org. It just talks about a lot of these Baba Basra and ones about Zalmer Shalavosai and Dvar Demamona and Shuda and the like. So he talks about Dvar Demamona, and he thinks that also part of the issue that Ksos is having with Tosfos has to do with a machlokas that we've been talking about this whole time, as to what Jaru D'Mamona means. That if you translate Jaru D'Mamona like a bunch of the Rishonim, that it means a Shaychus. So, okay, you can't figure out what the difference is between Talis and the Rabs. They both seem to be a Shaychus in both parties. And if that was a definition you're working off of, so then maybe that's why you have a hard time figuring out what the difference is between the two cases. But Tosus, as we've seen, Tosus has a different interpretation. What is Tosus, or a possibly different interpretation? What does Tosus understand as Jaru D'Mamona? Right, we have a suffix without their tainu. So we have to look at it from that prism. Is there a difference from that perspective? If there's no suffix, there's a suffix without their tainu, does that allow us to differentiate between the rocks and the talus? So he discusses that question, and it's just an interesting exercise. You see that whole statement of we have a suffix without their claim, it's a little bit of a subjective assessment. So it's interesting. He says, how would you differentiate between the two? He says, okay, a wall between two properties is objectively a question. It's objectively an issue who it belongs to. The talus does not necessarily provoke the question automatically, does it belong to this person or that person? A wall, or the wall, the ruins of the wall, are essentially permanently there. This is a constant pressing question. The talus, it only became an issue because these two people brought it, picked it up, so therefore maybe that's not called as much as an automatic suffix. So it just reflects the somewhat of a subjective nature to this question of what does it mean to have a suffix without their tainus. But either way, it's relevant to understanding why Tosus probably takes a different perspective than the Ksos does on this question. So there's more important things to say about that. So God willing, tomorrow we'll finish up this topic and then we will segue into the next one. I want to welcome you by Bacon Sheep.